Miss any of our best interviews or show segments? They're all available via the podcast. Go to TeamMyrtleBeach.com, click on the Schedule tab, and select The Drive with Aaron Marks. You can learn a little bit about our staff and download all of our best segments to listen to at a later time.
Got a lot of notifications coming in on Twitter, which I appreciate. Scott just asked me, we announced earlier that this is going to be my final week on the airwaves. We're going to wrap up Friday. I'm actually moving to Raleigh. And, I went through that a little bit earlier. I will actually, write something out for you guys. I did that for my friends on Facebook. I'll do it on Twitter later today. He said, I looked everywhere to see why you're leaving the show. I listen every morning on my way home from work. What's up? Scott, I'll post more details later. But I got a really good tweet here from, my buddy Jim. He says, Pat, you'll like this, at AM on FM, Francoeur just became the $90 used crock pot at the neighborhood yard sale. Hashtag get it while it's hot.
Great.
I mean, did he hit those 5 home runs last week? Is that like what's happening here?
I'll have to look up when he hit these
home
runs.
Yeah, I want to know when these home runs were hit, if that's their angle, because otherwise, I don't know why you would, like even put Jeff Francoeur out there. What do you hope to get for him? Like, what are you trying to accomplish? I don't understand that at all. Shelby Miller, too. Diamondbacks are like, we want to move Shelby Miller. Of course you want to move Shelby Miller. He sucks. Why would you want him on your team if you can get something for him? I just don't know who's going to... You know, a trade means you get something back, right? But guys have been traded for like a dollar before, haven't they? Like, haven't guys been traded for nothing? Like, would the Braves go to teams and be like, hey, do you want Jeff Francoeur? What do you want? Nothing. We don't want anything. We just want you to take them off our hands.
So, Francoeur had 2 home runs in the month of May, 1 in the month of June, and he's had 2 in the month of July.
Ooh.
They were on back-to-back days,
oh.
July 9th, July 10th against the White Sox.
Ah, they should have traded him 2 weeks ago.
I know.
Look at him. He's peaking. Take him now. He'll help your team next week. After that, we can't make any promises. All right, let's preview some NFL storylines for you. We got training camps about ready to get opened up. And starting off, I got all 32 teams here and some of the storylines that we're tracking. And we're going to pick 2 teams every day to discuss. And I want to start off with 2 of the most notable ones that we discuss here. The New England Patriots, who everybody talks about. We certainly have a lot of Pats fans here locally. But they've had the most interesting offseason of anybody. They open up training camp July 28th at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. The top storyline, obviously, can third-year quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo keep things afloat in season-opening games at Arizona and at home against Miami, Houston, and Buffalo until Tom Brady returns from a 4-game suspension. The Patriots have expressed plenty of confidence in Garoppolo, but there is always an element of unknown until a player is thrust into the spotlight. And so, Pat, we've talked about this before, the number of wins that we think New England will have coming out of that first 4-game stretch. I don't see how they're any worse than 2-2. I don't think they're going to win at Arizona. Home against Miami, Houston, and Buffalo. Houston is getting better. They're hopeful to make the playoffs again. Miami, I just don't know what Miami's going to do every year. And Buffalo is one of those teams, like, they're going to get some wins they're not supposed to. But then they're going to lose some games they're not supposed to.
I feel like Buffalo's a team that always plays well outside the division, and then they get into the division against the Patriots, the Jets, and the Dolphins, and they just are a totally different team, and they don't play well. I totally agree with you that, you know, Arizona opening weekend of the NFL in Arizona is a very tough matchup for Jimmy Garoppolo, especially that defense, so I'm going to say that's a loss. But I really don't see another loss after that. I think Houston, Miami, and Buffalo are all achievable wins for Jimmy Garoppolo and that New England Patriots team.
So then the question becomes, when Garoppolo goes 3-1 or 4-0 and doesn't see another snap all season, just leaving the unknown out there about how good he really is, where does he end up? What team, like, gives 9 first-round draft picks and, you know, $12 million a year to have Garoppolo come to their team? Because Houston already did that with Osweiler, with Brock Osweiler. So I don't think they'll do it. I would think, like, maybe Now, the Eagles, they've got a good young quarterback, so they're probably not going to make a dumb mistake like that. But there's got to be a team out there that's gonna think Garoppolo is, oh, that's a guy that's just sitting behind Brady, and they're going to pay him all kinds of money, and he's not going to be very good.
Well, I mean, it could be very well that it's after the fourth game of the season. I mean, that
they trade him then.
Exactly. I mean,
who wants him?
Well, no, it's a very good argument to say that if he does come out and has a very good start to the season, you know, teams are going to and you know, we don't know what injuries will happen in the first four games as well. So, also, you have to look at Kansas City because they're one of the teams that just, for some reason, does this where they pick up a player who, Matt Cassel was a great example of this, pick up a player that, you know, really he's only played in one or two or three games, and then he's terrible when he actually gets to start for a team. So, it's going to be very interesting to see how well Jimmy Garoppolo does in that offense and if there is any trade partners for him right after that.
Going to be interesting who the running back is. You know, you've got LeGarrette Blount, who signed a one-year deal, but he was injured throughout much of the spring. So we haven't seen him. He's going to try to get back into the mix. And so that makes things kind of interesting here with, you know, Garoppolo having to come in. You're not sure who's going to be anchoring the backfield with him. At receiver, I mean, you're looking at the health of Edelman and Amendola. So there are a lot of questions around this team, and you wonder how they're going to – Brady's always a guy that just, like, gets the most out of his teammates. Can Garoppolo do that? Can Belichick put together a game plan that's going to make Garoppolo successful with a ton of unknowns around him? He does still have some guy named Rob Gronkowski. You know, there is that guy who might be able to help out a little bit.
And another top 10 tight end as well, Martellus Bennett.
Yeah.
But Deion Lewis is going to be a starting running back for this team. That's exactly how it went last year. There was a lot of question marks with who the running back was going to be. He came in and provided a great outlet for Tom Brady to have some dump off plays, and he's not a terrible running back either. So I expect him to be the starting running back, but he's also a very slender, small running back, and so he's likely to get injured again. There's a lot of question marks with every year that we go into the NFL seasons. There's a lot of question marks about the New England Patriots, but they always seem to prevail. And you have to put a lot of that credit on the game planning of Belichick. Really do.
So what fans will be saying after camp, this is according to Mike Reese with ESPN.com, quote, as long as key players stay healthy, this team has Super Bowl potential. That is what they say every year about the New England Patriots. It's fine that Brady is missing the first four games, and we're just glad he gave up the fight. All right, talking about the Carolina Panthers, and we'll spend more time on the Panthers. I'm actually hopeful to get my buddy Mick Mixon on this week. It would be very appropriate to have him on with me this week as we wrap things up here with this program. But looking at Carolina, I mean, the question has got to be with these guys, can they do it again? And it's not a matter of can they go 15-1 again. Let me tell you, that's not going to happen. Two reasons it's not going to happen. One, it's really damn hard to go 15-1 in the NFL. That's why nobody ever does it. Two, the schedule. We talked about the schedule last year, and we talked about how favorable. Remember, we were looking at that schedule going, man, you know, this team's got a lot of questions at receiver and offensive line, but we were looking at the schedule going, it maps out really well, and we were just concerned about that stretch in October. And we said if Carolina went 2-2, in that stretch in October, that they had a chance to be a playoff team and a high seed. Well, they went 4-0 in the stretch in October and shocked everybody. And so the question, can they do it again in terms of the utter domination? This team dominated teams at the end of the year. I mean, you think back to that Redskins game. Remember when the Redskins fans were like, oh, if that pass interference call wasn't made, we would have won. Dude, you gave up 45 points in the game. How can you say a pass interference call was the difference? You lost by 30. The reserves were in the third quarter of that game. And so do they keep that going? Do they keep the dominance going? And, Pat, we really have no reason outside of a much more difficult schedule. It's going to be more intriguing matchups. But there's a fair number of games that we see that we have to say the answer is yes, especially within the division. Because Atlanta, New Orleans, Tampa Bay have done nothing in the draft and in the free agency season to make me think otherwise, that Carolina won't go at worst 4-2, maybe 5-1, probably 6-0, you know, in divisional play. Well, not probably 6-0, probably like 5-1 or 4-2, because it's divisional games. Even last year, that was the one that slipped them up a little bit. So what do you think? I mean, this is a team that's just now they're playing with confidence.
Definitely. And you know, we've seen teams that have confidence in the NFL just seem to rise to the occasion all the time. when I look at the inside the division itself, there's really the Atlanta Falcons are the only team that can really pose a threat for the Carolina Panthers, and I don't even see that happening both games. I see that happening one game, just exactly how it happened last year in Atlanta, and that's actually going to happen. Let's see, it's week four, so they're going to be playing very early on, so maybe they can get that under their belt and move on from there. But there's some pretty tough games outside of their division. Obviously, they start off the Thursday night at Denver. They week three, they're going to be traveling back home and take on the Minnesota Vikings, a tough team. They're also October 30th going to be taking on the Arizona Cardinals at home. There's just some tough games. Seattle, they're at Seattle at December 4th, so that's another tough matchup. There's some tough matchups, but I can totally see the Panthers still winning this division pretty easily, maybe having three or four losses and going into this playoffs having a really, you know, just another confident season. And I think bringing Kelvin Benjamin back is going to be the biggest thing for that offense. We thought their offense was explosive last year. I think this year is going to be even more ridiculous.
Yeah, you lose Josh Norman, but you get Kelvin Benjamin back in the mix. You know, so the offense gets better. The defense may have gotten worse. We're going to find out what kind of wizard Dave Gettleman is with these young corners and who steps up. And that's going to be the question to me. I think a rookie will have to be in the starting lineup. And so which rookie is going to get the start? David Newton thinks it's James Bradbury. Selecting the cornerback out of little-known Samford in the second round raised a few eyebrows, but at 6'1", he showed the physical skills during OTAs to replace Norman, who, by the way, started 12 games as a rookie out of little-known Coastal Carolina. Bradbury even is wearing Norman's old jersey number, number 24. The only player who might beat Bradbury out is third-round pick Darryl Worley. The point is, there's a competition going on there, and that's a good thing for Carolina Panther fans. Something else that one of the questions that all these writers are addressing, a veteran whose job is in jeopardy? None. David Newton writes, the lineup that helped Carolina reach the Super Bowl remains intact with the exception of the corner spots. And then you add in the wide receiver and Kelvin Benjamin. And so really, this is a team that should be built for a ton of success. And there are some interesting questions going in to training camp, but Shaq Thompson is a guy that's turning some heads. You know, he's going to continue to make the defense better. You kind of wonder what's going to happen with Kawan Short, but he's a part of the team this year. You know, Charles Johnson is a part of the team this year. Anytime you have Luke Kuechly anchoring your lineup, you can make some changes around him and you're going to be okay. That's how good he is. All right, let's check in on Twitter, Pat. I keep seeing you laughing over there.
So. Yes, we have two tweets about the Patriots. Chad writes in, and he's coming to know him through Twitter and actually meeting him one time. He's a very big Patriots fan, probably the biggest in Myrtle Beach. He says, Pat.
I think Mark will rival him for that.
Very true. Both of them, really. Pat's 2-2 at the worst through week four. Brady gets to rest his wing. We get a first rounder for Jimmy Garoppolo, and Goodell is still an idiot. That's his tweet. Sound tweet, right?
All
there.
Very possible. And because many of you hate the Patriots, you're going to hate them even more because of it. They're going to end up winning out from this whole deal.
And then Tate Dogg, this is what had Remy and I both just cracking up. He says, Tate Dogg says, I'd like to congratulate Garoppolo on becoming a future Cleveland Brown. 2 years, $99 million, okay?
Jeez. All right.
The only one last thing before we go to the commercial break. The only question, and I think you didn't mention it there, is we had a lot of questions about the offensive line. There's no changes, but does that still mean that there's question marks about this offensive line? I think that's a viable statement, especially after seeing what the Denver Broncos did to them in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and there's nothing in this preview about it, which I find to be kind of interesting. You know, it's like we forgot that they're supposed to be bad, and they were bad in the Super Bowl, but it's like Gettleman says that's a blip on the radar. Like, they had a bad game. They just happened to have a bad game in the biggest game of the season, and they had a hard time containing Von Miller. You know who else had a hard time containing Von Miller? The rest of the NFL. So I guess Gettleman's looking at it going, you know, it is what it is. We're going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to improve. Maybe by keeping them together, that makes them better. I don't know. You know, Michael Orr, they seem pretty confident in what he can do from that blind side, and they're going to keep him there. So their thought is that they had a great season. They protected Cam. They had a great running game. You know, Jonathan Stewart, questions about his health are always a big deal. He was banged up towards the end of the season last year. You know, does Cameron Artis Payne start to play a bigger role this year? Do they? I would say yes, that they start to incorporate him in some more. But really, outside of – they had major injuries last year, and they got over that hurdle. So we can't even say – you know, you look at the Patriots, and it's like, so long as they remain healthy, they're a Super Bowl team. Well, Carolina's proven that they cannot be healthy and be a Super Bowl team. I mean, Olsen was banged up at the end of the year. Stewart was banged up at the end of the year. They didn't have Kelvin Benjamin. Still went 15-1 and made it to the Super Bowl in dominating fashion. Just embarrassed the Arizona Cardinals, which has me concerned for the game they play against each other this coming year. Anyway, I'm sure we'll talk more Panthers this week, and we'll highlight some of the other teams. We'll pick 10 teams to highlight this week, Patriots and Panthers for today. All right, let's take a quick timeout. Final word, what to watch. Coming your way next. Right now, let's get to the information you need to know. We begin with your National Sports Report.